This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2298. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded June 5th, 2025, China, Europe, Greece, Guam, Indonesia, international waters, Japan, Korea North and South, Luxembourg, Mexico, Myanmar, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Russia, Solomon Islands, Switzerland, Taiwan, Tanzania, Tibet, Turkey, UK, USA, Vietnam, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, we begin with China, but it's about jamming. Sebastian Schluter in Germany says the BBC English Hour 17 to 18 on 17780 now has Chinese language jamming. Had not noticed that before. It's a broadcast from Ascension for West Africa, Monday through Friday, but apparently the signal carries well beyond that into China, justifying their jamming. Ron Howard points out that in the Alki list, this is shown as jammed only by an asterisk in the listing. Some people often overlook that. Also, Stephen Luce says, I've heard white noise jamming on BBC frequencies to Africa, but not using program audio. And we are all ready to E in the alphabet for Europe. In the NASFA Journal, there's a last-minute reminder that the European DX Council Conference will be held from Friday, 13 June, to Sunday, the 15th, in conjunction with the annual meeting of the Swedish DX Federation in Ullared, Sweden, including a visit to the historic Grimeton VLF transmitter site. More details at edxcnews.wordpress.com. And onward to G for Greece. From Christos Rigas in Illinois, it appears that ERT is planning to revive some of its medium-wave transmitting centers, planning a network of 9 medium-wave transmitters to be ready in case of emergencies. National needs, according to a news report in Greek dated May 29th, also abolishing an earlier decision that closed almost all the network of transmitters. The first one reopened was at ERT Chania in Soda. Zaharias Langas in Greece confirms that the Chania one, or is that Chania, C-H-A-N-I-A, is back in operation on 1512 kHz, and much better than the Athens transmitter on 729. The ERT relay network on medium wave suffered a major blow in the previous decade, after a blackout of 2013, not only with the deactivation of transmitters, but also looting that followed. Joe's Jacob forwards news from the TWR website that, after nearly 5 decades, Transworld Radio has made decision to wind down operations and end broadcasts from the transmission site on Guam. After months of intense prayer, study, and discussion, TWR's global leadership unanimously decided to wind down operations and end broadcasts on Guam by October 31st this year. They emphasize vital points regarding this tough and necessary course of action. They say TWR is not abandoning its listeners in Asia. We have initiated processes to transition 100% of shortwave programming to other outlets in the region, such as Reach Beyond Australia and FEBC Philippines, as well as commercial providers. We'll also explore other platforms, including FM and AM broadcasting and digital streaming. In Guam, we've faced many challenges in recent years, from the high cost of living on the island to unsustainable workload for overstretched staff members to the continual toll on equipment. Another pressing concern, aging transmitters, becoming more susceptible to unforeseen catastrophic failures. We don't believe raising funds to replace this costly equipment would be wise stewardship of resources needed in other areas of ministry. Ron Howard is listening via a remote in California to Voice of Indonesia, 4755, June 4th at 1310, and was pleased to hear again the patriotic song Mars Angkasawan, Radio Republik Indonesia, which he had not heard for a long time. Probably now through September 11th, there will be increased patriotic activity. The date marks RRI's 80th anniversary and also is celebrated as National Radio Day in Indonesia. And August 17th is Independence Day. The lyrics of the song include, in translation, "Once in the air, always in the air. International waters and non." Gilles Letourneau's World of Utilities column in CIDX Messenger reminds us about the Hurricane Watch Net. Now that the hurricane season of 2025 is underway from June 1st. The main frequencies are 7268 LSB and 14325 USB, or more info at www.hwn.org. Via Jimber Gaviria, Colombia, a story from Stars and Stripes, June 2nd. American Forces Network Radio expanding its FM reach in southern Japan. Officially launching an FM service at Sasebo Naval Base, becoming the first AFN station in Japan outside Okinawa on FM 93.1, following a 3-month test run under Japanese regulatory oversight, significantly expanding the station's coverage area, replacing a weak AM broadcast that barely extended to a nearby housing area. The AM frequency has been 1575. Walt Salmaniv, DXing from British Columbia, has heard the AFN stations. He says, "I can't be sure I heard the one at Sasebo. There are two others on the same frequency with higher power. That is 1 kilowatt instead of a quarter of a kilowatt." Hans-Jürg Biener forwards a story from BBC News that North and South Korea are in an underground war. Not only radio broadcasts back and forth, but loudspeakers along the border from both sides. South Korean media are also smuggled into the North via USB sticks, among other media. The Northeast Asian Broadcasting Institute in Seoul comments succinctly, "By cutting VOA and Radio Free Asia, you are empowering the North Korean dictator." It's www.neabi.com. Richard Langley says, "I caught a bit of NewsHour on BBC. They mentioned Unification Media Group losing their funding from USAID. I don't know how much of their funding came from USAID, but I wonder if they will be able to sustain the National Unity Radio shortwave broadcast. According to WRTH, they are currently on 7340 from Taiwan." Ron Howard says the station is still active, heard June 3rd starting at 12 UT, including a theme music, a segment mostly in Korean, but at 12:40, a weekday quotation in English. "Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can." It's by the late Arthur Ashe, American tennis player. And there was light North Korean jamming. Wolfgang Büchel has done a lot of remote monitoring of East Asian signals and reports on May 30th. Between 7627 and 7745, a lot of different services hitting each other. I guess Korean's Echo of Hope, or VOH from Seoul, avoiding a channel and on 7645 instead. That's 34 hertz below there. And heavy bubble jamming parked from 7627 to 7745, perhaps North Korea. Also some digital scratch noise broadband from 7706 to 7731. It's at 1635 UT and at 1650, just below 7720, an unidentified Korean station, perhaps Echo of Hope. And 7820, 7860, and 7960 had heavy North Korean badly filtered jamming, noted as harmonics. Luxembourg about 6140, as we mentioned last week, Radio Onda, temporarily relaying Radio Gloria from Switzerland. Manuel Mendes in Spain says on June 1st, "For a couple of days I've been noticing Radio Onda is on the air on 6140, but no audio, just the carrier. I've contacted the station, and they say they're having internet problems at the transmitter site, to be resolved in the next days." Late at night around 06 UT when I check, I found hardly any signals on the 49-meter band, besides WRMI and WWCR, one from Canada, 6070 CFRX, and one from Mexico, 6185 Radio Educación. Actually, it's slightly on the low side of the frequency. Tony Pavick in BC says even though reception has been downright crappy, one station, Mexico's XEPPM on 6185, has been coming through quite nicely, between 04 and 06 UT for me, a pretty nice blend of ballads and jazz along with talk in Spanish. The Dooley QSL, Bill Torwood replies, I can't speak to E or physical cards, but their program Sintonía Libre often mentions listeners and reads reception reports, in Spanish, of course. And Stephen Luce in Houston says, on my recent checks, I've found modulation and audio levels have also improved on XEPPM. It's the best signal on 49 meters outside WRMI and WWCR. Ron Howard reports Myanmar Radio 9730 via remote in Thailand, Wednesday, June 4th at 0216 to 0230, with another Wednesday program with the usual British English language lesson, fairly readable. Via Manuel Mendez from the website of frsholland.nl, on which Sunday, June 8th, we will take to the air from 1652 to 2045 UT. To our regret, it's our first activity this year. Frequencies subject to change, 7700 and 9300, 5990 and around 5840. The almost complete FRS team will be hosting shows. They're mentioning names of listeners who responded to their December broadcast. Check the website for any important last-minute announcements such as frequency changes. A reminder that time is running out to hear the Volmet flight weather broadcast from Gander, Newfoundland. It's being closed down permanently on the 12th of June at 0901 UTC, according to a notice at navcanada.ca. I hear it well on 6604, also 10051, 13270, and 3485. Their 10-minute broadcast started 20 and 50 minutes past the hour. The frequencies used to be shared with New York Radio, which closed several years ago. From the AIB Global Media Briefing, Radio New Zealand continues to build trust in its 100th year. RNZ has improved its trust result by 7 points in only 6 months. The growth in trust was captured in RNZ's latest audience survey, which featured a larger sample of 2,000 NZers. In the survey, 56% agree RNZ is an organization you can trust, up from 49% on the previous result. But I must say, does that mean 44% believe it is not trustworthy? Surely that is unacceptable. RNZ Pacific continues to show up on frequencies contrary to its own online schedule. Tony Pavick in BC says on May 30th, he heard them on 6135 until 1258 UT, supposedly on 9700, and then moving to 7440, but 6135 is scheduled much later in their night. Also, I keep hearing them on 9700 and 11725 between an 06 and 07, starting with the BBC relay at 06, although the schedule shows only 11725 until 0758, and then moving to 9700 and 7425. New Zealand is another country where the future of AM or medium wave radio is in doubt. This is discussed in New Zealand DX Times. It seems there's been a plan since 2017 to diminish AM services. One of the transmitter sites at Henderson is aging out, approximately 70 years old, and for safety reasons needs to be retired and dismantled within the next 3 years. The only AM transmission site in Auckland is owned by RNZ. In recent years, RNZ has shut down a number of its aging AM transmitters in preparation for exiting the market. Full closure of its AM network was planned for 2031. Current AM and FM broadcasting licenses in New Zealand expire on 2 April 2031. Also via NZDX Times, a press release from Northern Star Media about Radio Northern Star in Norway. We continue testing LLE3 on 5895 from Askøy Kringkaster this spring with our new 400-watt transmitter. Modulation should be improved. Reception reports wanted from all over. The address, figure 1000 at northernstar.no. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio 2298. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Financial support appreciated via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Or, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Not much medium wave remains in Russia, but here's one via Rusty X. On May 31st at 8 o'clock, the RTRS branch St. Petersburg RC resumed broadcasting Radio Maria in St. Petersburg on 1053 kHz, also on FM 92.6 from Vyborg. The temporary suspension until May 31st was based on the broadcaster's decision. Also in Rusty X, some belated information about shortwave, about Khabarovsky Krai. In March, a new sanitary and epidemiological conclusion was published on the design documentation for the radio center in Khabarovsk on Antenna Street, including technical characteristics for two HF antennas for DRM broadcasting. Number 13 would be for a Purga or Magadan transmitter type. Power 50,000 watts, frequency range 4.21 to 10.48 megahertz. The other one, number 14, transmitter type Purga of the South Kuril Islands. 50 kilowatts power, frequency range 6.8 to 14.0 megahertz. Ron Howard notes Solomon Islands, SIBC on 5020. With greatly extended broadcasting past the normal sign-off at 12 UT. Perhaps due to next month on the 7th, their Independence Day, heard both via remote in New Zealand and direct at Asilomar State Beach, California. Sunday, June 1st at 12:04, the national anthem ended, but they immediately started non-stop religious songs, many in English. On June 2nd at 15:04, non-stop island pop songs were playing. Also June 3rd at 13:06 and 14:35. In the British Theatre Club, Mark Palmer, who has the word Esperanto in his email address, reports on May 31st, I was sorry to learn of the death last November of the Swiss broadcaster Claude Gaconde, G-A-C-O-N-D. Perhaps not a household name, even among the Xers, but with a dedicated worldwide following for three decades. From 1962 to 92, Claude wrote and presented Swiss Radio International's 15-minute weekly slot in the international Esperanto language, a job I somewhat envied, as he seemed free to broadcast about what he liked, always interesting and enjoyable. Born in Neuchâtel in 1931, he worked as a teacher but also held many roles in the Swiss Esperanto movement. He died in a retirement home in La Chaux-de-Fonds. Riposo in pazzo, Claudio. Via remotes, Wolfgang Büschel's monitoring of Far East Radio May 30th, between 05:30 and 17:15 UT, included these exact frequencies for Sound of Hope from Miaoli, Taiwan, in the 6 MHz range. Exactly 6215, but then 6279.843, 6369.963, 6705.034, 6865.121, 6970.092, and then 7460.995. In the British DS Club, Tony Rogers says regarding the recent absence of the usually widely heard Radio Free Africa in Tanzania on 1377 kHz, I emailed the station on 3 June and a guy called Steve promptly replied. We are still using 1377, but maintenance work is being conducted. We expect to resume nominal power within the next 2 weeks. Despite the name, of course, it's a private station and not clandestine. Via remotes in India and Nepal, Ron Howard was listening to Tibet on 4905, the Xinjiang radio and TV station. June 2nd after 16 UT, their hour in English, Hello Xinjiang. It was sanitized news of how fine Tibet is under Chinese rule. Wolfgang Büschel is also hearing this on 7255. Sunday, June 1st at 22:32, I found Voice of Turkey in English on 11780, missing from 11785. No problem into Europe, but the remote in Maryland was getting a heavy clash with Brazil. In fact, Turkey was underneath a silly ballgame in Portuguese. You may recall that Voice of Turkey was advised to move from 11785 to avoid adjacent interference from Brazil to 11790, but instead they moved right on to 11780. Something's always erroneous at Emerlair and or awry at Ankara. The next day, the transmission was missing completely, but by June 3rd, they were back on 11785. From BBC via AIB, Encompass Digital Media is leading transformation of BBC World Service's global distribution from satellite to IP-based delivery. That would mean undersea cable. The initiative Encompass is delivering in partnership with ZIXI.com offers unparalleled flexibility, scalability, and cost-effectiveness. The first major milestone was at the end of March, delivered the full transition to IP distribution for BBC World Service partners across Europe. Now follows a rolling program of transformations across the Americas, Pacific, Africa, and Asia. Some thoughts from Bill Tilfer, not under any particular country. I would like to know about these mega audiences. How many actually consume the equivalent of a full broadcast while online versus picking out one or two short stories from an a la carte menu? Although one can argue that the a la carte availability of stories increases listener and viewer freedom to choose, it also eviscerates the lasting personal connection, rather like the difference between standing in line at a burger joint or walking through a self-service cafeteria and sitting down in a full-service restaurant. You eat something either way, but the overall impact of the experience is different. Glenn Swiderski, W7GS Slant 8, former transmitter engineer at Greenville, says on June 4th, "This is the last message. The two guys still at Greenville, chief engineer Macon Dial and shift supervisor Rex Oliver, have been told their notice of termination will be forthcoming. Therefore, the station is officially closed and abandoned. This, I'm sorry to say, is the end of VOA and OCB. As a former employee, it was a great experience and a fun ride. Tonight I will face Greenville with two fingers of single malt and drink to its service. Then I will face DC with two other fingers. Please attribute this to my name. Be well, my friend, and stay in touch." Tom Roberts in Wyoming replies, "How heartbreaking it is to hear stories on a daily basis on the demise of VOA. Neither Carrie Lake nor the president care or have a clue regarding the reckless actions they've taken to destroy a much-needed and beloved American asset. I remember the 1960s with the breakfast show hosted by Pat Thorne, heard by more than 300 million people, along with great news and jazz. We all grieve with you. I'm very worried about what will happen to these 500-kilowatt transmitters. If the government wants to save money, it doesn't make sense to destroy VOA's assets. But we know this nothing less than a personal power grab. It is not about saving taxpayers' money or streamlining the budget. We need the VOA more than ever on the international stage. When I write my congressman, all I get is a form letter touting the line of the Trump administration about waste, fraud, and abuse. They are sold out, bought and paid for. We have not seen the bottom of the destruction of American assets yet. The VOA has $100 million in assets, and yet, if they're scrapped or put on the surplus market or destroyed, how is that saving money and wisely using taxpayer funds?" This correlates with a New York Post story of May 30th via Rich DeAngelo. Roughly 800 remaining full-time staffers at VOA are preparing for the worst, as the international broadcasters expect to issue mass termination notices this week. Meanwhile, TheDesk.net via Mike Cooper, May 30th, says the parent company of One America News, OAN, agreed to provide the U.S. Agency for Global Media free access to news videos and stories for distribution on government-backed networks. Legal experts question whether Carrie Lake has any authority to execute on agreements that fundamentally shape the way USAGM conducts business. RFERL reported that a U.S. district judge on May 30th granted RFERL's third request for a temporary restraining order in its lawsuit against the USAGM and ordered the agency to immediately disperse RFERL's May funding. But RFERL does not expect to receive any of those funds before June 30th. Without any funding in the meantime, RFERL will shut down the vast majority of its operations by the end of June, sent an order from Judge Lamberth. There is also the executive order that Corporation for Public Broadcasting cease funding NPR and PBS. NPR says it's a clear violation of the Constitution and the First Amendment's protection for freedom of speech and association and freedom of the press, an affront to the rights of NPR's 246 member stations, locally owned, non-profit, non-commercial media organizations serving all 50 states and territories. They challenge the constitutionality in the nation's independent courts. AIB also points out that some of VOA's rebroadcasters are on the verge of bankruptcy in African nations, for example, as they received payment for carrying VOA output in English and other languages to local audiences. With that reliable income stream gone, it's probable some of these will be forced to close, reducing the amount of news and info available to citizens in many countries worldwide. The British DS Club, Gareth Foster, says, as of June 4th, the VOA rolling captions that had been broadcast since Trump's original announcements were finally switched off satellite feeds. And Wolfgang Dussel agrees that on Hotbird 13, 12-226, ending at 3 June, 23:41 hours. As always, there's so much more to this covered in much greater detail in our World of Radio Indian Ocean group. For World of Radio podcasts, we've had some problems our podmaster is working on. A date of 1969 has been applied to some of our latest broadcasts. Ones which seem to be okay are the ones at rmrc.de, youtube.com, and tunein.com. Exact links are on the World of Radio website. Via Alan Rowe and Bill Tilford, the 1,000th show of Marion's Attic appears on WBCQ, The Planet, Sunday, June 8th, at 21 UT on 7490. But at that hour in the summer, you'd better listen online if you're beyond the local area. Bill Tilford says it's a 2-hour special, June 8th from 2100, and in the entire month of June, after the usual 1-hour broadcast, there will be a Best of Marion's Attic second hour at 22 UT on 7490. Congratulations, Marion and Christina. Bill Tilford also says, as hard as it is for some to believe, WBCQ has a show, John P. Lightning's Radio New York International, every couple of Mondays from midnight to 03 UT, on 5130, a more virulently anti-Trump program one will not find anywhere on any band. When he is on his game, he can also be hilariously funny. On May 30th at 1345, Wolfgang Büchel found the voice of Vietnam, 12020, putting out two sets of spurs on each side, 11963.111, 11991.556, 12048.444, and 12076.889. As you may have noticed, a massive coronal hole led to very disturbed propagation and radio blackouts this past week. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued June 2nd. ANKNSE is peaking at 35 and 6, June 13th and 25th. Quietest states of only 8 and 3 are June 8th, 9th, and 19th to 22nd. Solar flux ranging from 150 to 160 through June 22nd, then dropping to 125 by June 28th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here, concluding World of Radio 2298 with a standard disclaimer.